Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. This is our third teletown hall. I'm Bill Boyce, Fire Chief here at the City of Brampton, and I'll be your moderator this evening. Tonight, we'll be hearing from Alain Normand, our Emergency Management Coordinator with the City of Brampton, our Mayor, Patrick Brown. We also have our co-chairs of our task forces here, Councillor Santos and Bowman from our Social Support Task Force, Councillor Fortini and Dillon from our Senior Support Task Force, Councillor Vicente and Pleshy from our Economic Support Task Force, and Councillor Williams and Singh from our Youth Support Task Force. We also have Dr. Lowe joining us once again. Thank you, Dr. Lowe. Dr. Frank Martino from William Osler, Peel Regional Police Deputy Chief Randy Patrick, myself, and Peter Dundas, Chief of Peel Regional Paramedic Service. So tonight, to ask a question, we ask you please press star 3 on your phone. First, I'm going to give the phone over to Alain Normand for an update. Thank you, Alain.
Good morning, or good afternoon, rather. Thank you very much. So we're continuing the work on the task forces. We're making a lot of progress. We have had some recruitment of volunteers. We are thankful for all the people that are coming forward and giving their names to help out. It does take a little time because we do have to be careful. We don't know everybody, so we have to go through a police verification, and Peel Police has been very supportive of making that. But we don't want to send just anybody to help our seniors and vulnerable populations, so we have to be diligent in checking. So that takes a little time. So people, if you've offered your help, we are thankful, but please bear with us as we go through this. And for people who need our help, we are increasing our numbers, and we are going to get to it right now. We're aiming to reduce the response time as soon as possible so that we can get to your requests without too much delay. Please continue to send us your emails at the different addresses or call 311, and we will do our best to respond to your needs. We care for our citizens. We're going to do everything we can for you during those difficult times. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Len. I also want to acknowledge our CAO, David Barrick. He's on the line. And just a reminder, again, if you want to ask a question, to please press star 3 on your phone. Now I'm going to turn it over to Mayor Patrick Brown.
Well, thank you, Chief Boyce, and thank you, Alain Normand, for your ongoing work during this emergency. One of the reasons we have these teletown halls is to keep you informed, the residents of Brampton. We work for you, and with modern technology and everyone self-isolating, this is the most effective way to speak directly to you, and these weekly town halls are an opportunity not only to update you on the work we've been doing, but also to hear your direct feedback. And so I hope everyone is enjoying these town halls as an opportunity to help us shape the course of this emergency and our response to it. A few updates from the last week. The first, on more of a sad note, we had our first death in Brampton from COVID-19, and I know it hit the hospital community hard. Dr. Frank Martino, mentioned to me that everyone was quite shook up about it. It was a man in his 70s with some pre-existing medical conditions. I know we've seen it on the news before, but it certainly hits home when you see an example of it in your own community. But it should also be a reminder of how serious this is. Earlier last week, we announced the closure of all city parks. I was frustrated to see photos being shared on social media of recreation facilities that were busy. People had jumped a fence to play soccer, or a basketball court at Peel Village where people are busy playing. When we have a virus that can spread so easily, the notion that people would be reckless is just absolutely foolish, and it's why we had to close all these parks. For now, the trails are open. You can continue to walk and run and bike ride, but just like I said about the parks, if people choose to be reckless about it, if I see the trails are busy and packed and people aren't keeping the 6 feet away, well, then we may have to consider closing them as well. And so that's a warning that we really need to take this physical distancing seriously. We actually took one step further this week, and we announced fines for those that are not abiding by physical distancing. Fines that can range from a minimum of $500 to a maximum of $100,000. And this is for people that are showing disregard to their neighbors, family, and loved ones. It was with some consternation that we made this decision, but it highlights how serious this COVID-19 pandemic is. When you look at the death tolls in the United States, and some estimates are, you know, we're a number of weeks behind the spread in the U.S., our ability to show physical distancing now is critical. We don't want to see happen in Brampton what's happened in New Orleans or in New York City. And that's why I really need to stress the point, physical distancing is key. We launched the new fines last night, and I can tell you, if anyone has an example they see in their neighborhood, you can call 311. We got a complaint last night. A 27-year-old in Brampton decided it would be a good time to throw a backyard party. Unbelievable. A backyard party when we've got a global pandemic. I thought it would be a fun time to have 20 friends over to have a few drinks. Well, I want you to know I have no patience for that. We have no patience for that. The bylaw officers went there, and they disregarded the advice of the bylaw officers, so we brought in Peel Police. And fines were laid. There's now going to be a court date in June, and the fine for this individual can be as high as $100,000. It'll be up to a justice of the peace to determine the amount. But let that be an example that we are very serious about this. And please call 311 if you see examples of that. As the weather gets nicer, I don't want anyone to think that's an opportunity to have a party at a time when this is spreading so easily. And so I just wanted to stress that. We've also hired 10 additional bylaw officers to help us with this. So we've made sure that there's availability to respond to the complaints. So it's been a busy week. We're continuing to work on all cylinders. And one thing we've added to the Teletown Hall today is representatives from our City Hall task force to say a few words. I've got an incredible team at City Hall. We've got councillors who are working their hearts out, and they're leading our four task force on seniors, on social support, on economic support and recovery, and on youth. And I thought, given the fact they're doing a lot of the groundwork behind the scenes, it would be great to have them give a bit of a brief update tonight. Normally we have updates from public health and from the hospital and from our first responders, but I thought it would be good to have an update from them at this week's edition of the Teletown Hall. So I hope you'll enjoy their update, and I'm looking forward to the questions that you have that follow. I know we always get some great questions during this town hall, and thank you everyone for participating. Thank you for being part of this. The fact that you're on the town hall shows us how much you love your city, that you want to be part of the solution as we get through this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor Brown. These task forces, as the Mayor mentioned, are really a great example of community spirit and people coming together in some challenging times. So we're going to get an update from the four task forces. First up is the Social Support Task Force and Councillor Rowena Santos.
Thank you so much, Chief and Mayor Brown. The Social Support Task Force rolled up our sleeves and got to work right away as soon as school closures happened. I am working on it together with Councillor Bowman. We developed an emergency food distribution process for the City of Brampton, managing donations from residents as well as corporations and providing prepared meals and groceries to those in need at this time. Visit our City of Brampton COVID-19 Social Support Task Force website. So if you are in need of groceries, please fill out our online form. And if you don't have access to a computer or mobile device, then please call 311. If you are looking to help as a resident or corporation, please email us at covid19support@brampton.ca. Again, if you or anyone you know requires emergency food or grocery supply, please contact us. And if you are looking to do your part during this pandemic, please visit our website to see which items are needed for donation. Right now, we need baby formula, diapers size 3, 4, and 5, and also healthy kids snacks. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Councillor Santos. The next update is from the Senior Support Task Force, and we have Councillors Pat Fortini and Councillors Gurpreet Dillon. Go ahead. Councillor Fortini, Councillor Dillon.
Thank you, Mayor and the Chief. So I know it's very hard. We're on the senior task force, and it's very hard for the seniors to stay home and practice the social distance. We created this task force to help out the seniors if they need any need of day-to-day chores, for medicine, groceries, anything they need, they could contact us. But I want to make it clear this is mostly for people that can that don't have access to their kids close by or living with their kids, anybody that has needs, we're there for them. you know, our seniors are using the parks or recreation centers, and, you know, even the Tim Hortons, and it's time to not socialize at this time because we want to protect the seniors and make sure they all stay home. So if you have any needs, they could contact us at 311 or the COVID support at brampton.ca or also at the region .clerk, plregion.ca. Again, they could call 311 or contact us at the COVID-19 support at brampton.ca. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Sorry, Councilor, go ahead, Chief.
No, go ahead, Councillor Dillon.
I appreciate that, Chief and Mr. Mayor, and thanks, Councilor Fratini, for the update. So in a situation like this, information is everything. So our task force is focusing on compiling important resources, information, and information about groceries, pharmacies, as well as social supports and mental health resources. This is available on our website, and the city continues discussions with key retailers, businesses, and community groups to make sure this list continues to grow as well. Collaboration is a key strategy for us right now. Brampton has many organizations, seniors clubs, and places of worship that are doing already great work and service in our community. The city's been reaching out to these groups to ensure they have the right information and know where to go for support. So we're directly in contact with them. And so tomorrow at 10 a.m., we have a telephone town hall with seniors groups where we'll share critical information and resources among their members. Sorry, just a little bit of feedback there. Anyone interested in joining the seniors town hall tomorrow is welcome. The call-in details and sign-in information is on the task force website. And I want to add that we're seeing an outpour of public volunteers who are eager and willing to support our seniors. It makes me and our entire council proud and our entire staff proud to see Bramptonians coming together during this crucial time. We've connected with over 100 individuals and community reps interested in partnering with us. So whether or not each volunteer is assigned to support them, I'm asking and our council is asking that they check in on the seniors and their family and neighborhood in a safe way and alert the city if there's any specific reports that are required. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Councillor Dillon. Now we're going to go on to our Economic Support Task Force with Councillor Paul Vicente and Councillor Michael Pileschi.
Thank you, Chief Boys. Councillor Pileschi and I are here this evening to provide an update on the Economic Support and Recovery Task Force, which was set up to coordinate recommendations and measures to support business relief efforts here in Brampton. This group will provide an assessment on support, stimulus, and recovery measures needed to get local business across all the sectors through this COVID-19 situation and back to normal operations. This includes immediate and long-term actions to support local businesses, workers, and residents. We have small and large businesses, and they are experiencing difficult challenges, but they all have some things that are in common. They want to do the best for their employees and are all committed to their businesses. We all have that in common as we are all in this together. So now I'll turn it over to Regional Councillor Pileschi to give an overview of the actions that we have taken to date. Councillor?
Thank you, Vicente. Some actions to date, we're collaborating. We held our first formal task force meeting this week, resulting in concrete actions. Representation from all levels of government and local partners are on the task force as well. Brampton Board of Trade, Downtown BIA, Chambers of Commerce, the Brampton Chinese Business Association, the Black Chambers of Commerce, people around the table, all different types of support potentially available, providing us with the best opportunity to develop solutions. We're consulting to identify key issues. We've sent a survey to businesses in Brampton, over 150 responses, held logistics sector conference call on March 20th. We've held a small business teletown hall with over 300 attendees on March 30th. Held a large business conference call with about 80 large businesses from Brampton, key employers, on March 25th. We'll be having a regular teletown hall with businesses to check in and adjust as needed, as the situation is ever evolving. We're listening and responding, taking the input from our consultations to plan and implement next steps in response to concerns, providing businesses with information to keep their employees safe, healthy at work. We're advocating. We've resulted in recent announcements from federal government, and today we sent a letter to Premier Ford advocating for rent relief suggestion options. We know rent payments are one of the biggest challenges facing small businesses in our city. We are taking action. Where we have the power to do so, property tax deferral without interest for 5 months for businesses and residents, accelerating our payment of invoices owed to local vendors, suppliers, and not-for-profits, with a large of with a target of 14 days from our usual 30 days to get money back to our local businesses as quickly as possible. We're informing and supporting information on the website with constant updates and resources for businesses regarding programs they can access. Staff are connecting with businesses individually and providing supports as needed. We're also planning. As we deal with the challenges of today, we're keeping an eye to the future. We will be working on recovering from the impacts of COVID. Thank you very much. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, councillors. Now we're going to move on to the Youth Support Task Force with Councillor Charmaine Williams and Councillor Harkirat Singh. Councillors?
Hi, everyone. This is Councillor Williams, and I will be doing the report this week, and Councillor Singh will be reporting for us next week. The Youth Support Task Force ensures Brampton youth are engaged and stay connected during this difficult time. Our goal is to ensure youth have access to resources and supports available in the community, such as information and access to mental health and addictions resources, access to food and shelters for our vulnerable youth, current information to support educational learning and access, and resources to stay physically active and socially engaged while remaining physically distant. To ensure all of this happens, we had a very powerful discussion with youth-serving organizations and groups last week. We heard about the needs, and we will have ongoing discussions with them to ensure we help them out as much as possible. We have a survey on our COVID-19 Youth Support Task Force website page so we can reach out to all youth-serving organizations and hear about their needs and how we can best work together. We also want to hear from youth directly. There is an online survey just for youth, and I encourage you to please take it and please be honest. Our dedicated youth page is on the brampton.ca/COVID-19 webpage, and it has lots of resources, and we will continue to update the information regularly. The task force is a place to engage Brampton youth and ensure that they stay positive and connected during this time, given that recreation centers and libraries are closed and programs and events are canceled. We had our very first youth Instagram live chat earlier today to discuss COVID-19, and it was so great to connect with youth and everyone to hear about their concerns and answer questions. We want to continue this two-way dialogue, so stay tuned for more virtual engagement opportunities. We also have a fun and exciting social media challenge underway, and we'll have them regularly throughout this whole period. Our first social challenge was launched yesterday on Instagram, so make sure you follow at City Brampton for details and use the hashtag Brampton Youth. The city is consulting with a number of our existing corporate youth volunteers and young people via our youth survey to ensure youth volunteers and ensure that we are putting in place, what we put in place actually resonates with our Brampton youth. Youth have always been our priority, and we want to ensure that they are still heard. We want to know what youth are up to and how they are coping at this time and how they are utilizing the resources we have for them. Use hashtag Brampton Youth to let us know. We're also looking for volunteers to help, so if you're interested, please email COVID19youth@brampton.ca, and our team will get back to you. Areas that we need volunteers are in helping food banks and food deliveries for vulnerable youth, e-volunteering to support Brampton youth socially engaged with the City of Brampton's weekly social media challenges, and also contacting our isolated seniors to reduce loneliness. Please go to our website, stay connected, let us know, and participate in our activities. We want to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Williams, and thank you to all the councillors for providing these updates and working so hard during this difficult time. I'd like to turn it over to Peel's Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Lawrence Lowe, and thank you, Dr. Lowe. We know you've been extremely busy, and we really appreciate you joining us. Please go ahead with your update.
Thank you very much, Chief, and thank you, mayors, councillors, and colleagues, and everyone else that's on the line this evening. I want to start my remarks by just highlighting that we are at a critical juncture in controlling the spread of COVID-19 in our community, in the region of Peel and in Brampton. As you've heard from me over the last few weeks, I have talked about the golden era by which we can actually act decisively through physical distancing to essentially try to flatten the curve. I've said many times before at many meetings that if we do not disperse, the virus will not disperse. A disease that is transmitted from human to human cannot transmit if humans do not meet other humans. And so to some extent, that is the reason why. That is the reason why we have enacted many of the measures that have been taken to date. I'm here today to tell you that our era, the golden window, is starting to close. This week, we have started to see significant increases in cases. At this time, as of this morning, we had 309 cases in the region of Peel, 112 of them who were residents of Brampton. And at the same time, which I know that our healthcare partners will speak to, we are starting to see increasing severity in our healthcare system, and we are starting to see, and we have also tragically seen our first passing, a Brampton senior, as Mayor Brown had identified in his opening remarks. So that is how you know that the healthcare picture is starting to catch up to the case picture, which is starting to get, higher and higher. It's important to remember that the cases and the healthcare picture are delayed. The case count reflects what we were doing 2 weeks ago. And if all of you will remember, 2 weeks ago, we had just been into day two, of a declared provincial emergency. We had just curtailed a number of activities in our community, but to a large extent, life continued unabated. It will only be probably in the next 2 weeks where we will see the outcomes of what we have done in terms of trying to promote greater physical distancing. But as Mayor Brown alluded to in his opening remarks, I too have been quite concerned with reports of non-compliance, with reports that people are still gathering in large groups, either in private residences or in other settings. As I've said before, this is not a disease to be sniffed at. And I would actually just mention that I had the opportunity to speak to a good friend of mine who is a trauma surgeon currently working in New York City. And the tales that he has been telling me about what he has been dealing with at work over the last week have been absolutely grim. He's currently in the ICU, in the intensive care unit. It's a 50-bed ICU in his hospital, and every single patient there is on a respirator for COVID. He says that there are lines out the block, down several blocks in Manhattan, that people that are seriously ill are being shuttled through to the front of the line just so that they can be seen. And I want to say that this is not the picture that we want to see in Brampton, in the region of Peel, or in the greater Toronto area. So it is for this reason that today I issued a Section 22 order under the Health Protection and Promotion Act, which basically will speak to restricting and requiring any residents who have been diagnosed with COVID-19, as well as their associated close contacts, to self-isolate for 14 days. We do know that the vast majority of people who have contracted this disease have cooperated and have certainly stayed home when they needed to stay home. But we do also hear that on the odd occasion, they are darting out to get groceries or to go out there. And I'm asking people in the strongest terms possible, if you have been diagnosed with COVID-19 or are currently being investigated for COVID-19 or have symptoms that are compatible with COVID-19, you absolutely need to stay home and make other arrangements to get your essentials covered. And that is for that reason we've issued that sectional order as of this evening. We've also really changed our advice and really tried to strongly recommend in the clearest terms possible what we need to do to get in front of this disease. And I'm asking all the residents of Brampton and Peel region to get behind the idea that we should really be trying to spend as much time at home as possible, really leaving the house only for essential reasons, which include groceries, getting medicines, and seeking medical attention. or taking part in daily exercise, which can be done alone or with one other family member, or to exercise a pet while maintaining physical distancing while you're out and about. I also speak directly to our residents who are over the age of 70 and encourage them to try to stay home as much as possible. If they do need to emerge for essential needs, they can, but to the extent possible, they should try to rely on their family and social supports to minimize their interactions with others out in our community. As I've been saying over the last few weeks, we do now have community spread in Peel Region and in many other communities in the Greater Toronto Area. And so, especially for those who are over the age of 70 and those who may have underlying medical conditions and compromised immune systems, it is important to limit your excursions to only the most essential. And finally, to the businesses that remain open, there are many businesses that are identified as essential in our communities, and I've been very heartened by the many employers and businesses that have taken to heart the need to promote physical distancing on their premises. For those that have not yet done so, we strongly recommend that they start to limit the access to their facilities and the number of occupants on site to promote physical distancing. And to the extent possible, if they can move their operations to delivery and pickup, they should consider doing so, as well as considering screening their employees for signs and symptoms of COVID-19 and sending home anyone that may be ill. I only make these recommendations and have issued this order because I truly do believe that as we see increasing severity in our healthcare system and the increase in cases that has been expected, we are starting to get to the point where if we do not take decisive action to maintain our efforts to physically distance, that we may very well end up seeing pictures in our community that are very similar to what we are seeing in other jurisdictions abroad. And so all that to say, if I could say in the simplest possible terms to everyone on the line tonight, stay home. If you can stay home and leave only for essential reasons, which is groceries, medicines, or medical appointments, and daily exercise on your own or with one other family member, that will do enormous things to slow the spread of COVID-19 in our community and make sure that our healthcare system can keep up. And finally, I did want to say that it's very exciting for me to also be on the call to hear of the work that is being done by the new committees led by the councillors in Brampton, for which I applaud. I think the other thing that is sometimes forgotten in the course of this pandemic is that there are many other health impacts that are associated with COVID-19 that are not merely infectious, and those are related both to the disease themselves, basically interacting with different populations differently, and also is related to many of the measures that we are taking, which I do recognize places a disproportionate burden and sacrifice for many of the people who already have given so much in our society. And so it is very exciting for me to sort of listen to all the initiatives underway to ensure that the broader determinants of health, the things that really do keep people healthy, are also being considered by the City of Brampton in our response to this pandemic and presumably after it's over. So with that, I will turn it back to the Chief and thank you all for the opportunity to address you this evening.
Well, it's Mayor Brown here again. I just want to thank Dr. Lawrence Lowe. He's working on this from early morning to late at night on our behalf. And so I hope everyone takes his words seriously. He is a very accomplished physician who has worked with infectious diseases in his past life. And so his words come with a serious thought and research. I know his warning today on those over the age of 70 is something that if you have loved ones, you should take that message to them just to share a personal story. Both my parents are over the age of 70, and I told them I didn't want them to go to the grocery store. I would go for them, and they told me that they didn't want me doing any extra work, and they wanted to go, and I insisted. And I think if you have parents, you should do the same. Your parents may not want to be an imposition, but this is about their safety. This is about their health. And so just like I had to be a bit pushy with my parents to be less independent, I would encourage everyone to do the same. Because when Dr. Lawrence Lowe says that if you're over the age of 70, it's a risk to be out, I trust that 100%. And I really hope everyone takes that message seriously.
Good. Chief? Thank you, Mayor Brown, and thank you, Dr. Lowe. I'd like to move on now to Dr. Martino from William Osler Health Center. Go ahead, Dr. Martino.
Thank you, Chief Boyce, and I would also like to thank Mayor Brown, the city councillors, and the care service partners on the line for welcoming us to this telephone town hall. I'd like to begin by echoing Dr. Lowe's sobering words about the importance of personal and social distancing. I can't begin to say how that is important in allowing us to battle this crisis that we're all facing. And I also want to take a moment to also thank our municipal, provincial, and federal government by enacting the important restrictions that have allowed us to see what we hope will not be the same surge that is happening with our friends south of the border. If we don't do this right, we will see a lot of what we're watching on a daily basis on television, and it is quite frightful. I want to begin by saying we recognize many in the community we serve are concerned about their health and the health of their loved ones. And at OSLR, we're here. We're here for you, and we want you to know that we're prepared to deal with the challenges that lie ahead. We also recognize that many in the community still rely on us for care outside of COVID-19. So every day we continue to see people who need life-saving care, including care after heart attacks, strokes, and accidents, and exacerbations of their chronic illnesses. OSLR continues to be a safe place to come for patient care. And we put in place a number of precautionary measures to ensure that we protect you while you're within our walls. If you have concerning health symptoms, we want you to come to our emergency department. We will care for you and we'll continue to keep you safe and protected. OSLR also has undertaken some critical steps and is following the direction and advice of healthcare and government partners in preparation for an escalation of COVID-19 cases that require hospital care. I know that many have asked the question, what are we doing at OSLR to affront this crisis? Certainly, we've created surge spaces. We've reallocated equipment, and we're ensuring we have adequate supply of equipment to man those surge spaces and the expansion of our services. We've actually scaled down non-urgent clinical activities across our three hospital sites, and that includes elective surgery and non-urgent and follow-up clinics. We've identified new spaces within our four walls for COVID patients as we develop a space and capacity plan that is phased over four phases. And these four phases reflect the need to expand based on the volume of cases that come in into our health system. And we've redeployed non-urgent clinical staff to COVID-19, including staff that formerly were working in providing services in our operating rooms and in our clinics. We've redeployed this staff, and we've created a redeployment plan that capitalizes on the skills of both our physicians, nurses, and support staff. We've also enhanced our virtual platforms such as teleconferencing and video conferencing to support the care of vulnerable patients in our community so that their care can happen at home. If anything we'll learn out of this crisis is the importance of virtual care, and I think it will be a positive outcome of COVID-19. We also recognize that this is a challenging time for many, especially those with loved ones in the hospital. What we've created is a number of assessment centers. We have a total of three active assessment centers within our health system. The one that most people are familiar with is the Peel Memorial Assessment Center, one of the first in the province. We have a drive-through center in North Etobicoke and a second center that is been developed by for referral by families for family physician patients. So your family doctor can actually refer you through this assessment center, as well as for staff and referrals from public health. Those three centers we feel will allow us to identify those in our community and help stem the spread of the contagion. OSLR has assessment centers, and we encourage the community to remember what qualifies you to be assessed within the assessment center. If you have mild symptoms of upper respiratory tract type infection, like a flu, or any of the following, fever greater than or equal to 38 degrees, underlying immune compromise, if you have underlying immunocompromised conditions, such as you're on chemotherapy or dialysis, you may be a diabetic or someone with a number of comorbidities or on medication that suppresses your immune system. If you're over the age of 60, and if you've been referred by public health due to a contact with a confirmed or possible case of COVID-19, or if you're a healthcare worker or first responder who has symptoms, we encourage you to come to the assessment center. As this is a self-referral, you will be greeted at the assessment center. And for those who do not meet the criteria, we will provide you with appropriate information and direct you to care, not necessarily at the assessment center. If you are ill with other conditions, we'll redirect you to our emergency department or to contact your family doctor in the community. OCLR is also developing an online self-assessment tool, which people will be able to access to use whether they meet the criteria to test for COVID-19 at the assessment center. And we're also using the same tool so that the community patients within our community that come to the hospital can self-assess as part of our screening process. And this we're also creating for our staff to make their flow into the hospital more efficient. Now, I've been asked by many about what if I had surgery booked at OCLR and what do I do now? Well, we are getting in touch with all those patients. We're doing our very best to inform them and reassure them that the services that they were scheduled for will occur once we're over this crisis. Our aim, of course, is to resume our services and procedures once the crisis is over. Many of you will also ask about our screening and visitor policy. OCLR is screening all staff, physicians, volunteers, outpatients, and visitors to further protect the health and safety of everyone who works and or requires health care services at OCLR from the spread of COVID-19. This includes a no-visitor policy, to which there are some exceptions, and these are clearly laid out on OCLR's website, and I encourage you to visit that site, and you'll be able to see what the exceptions are. There may be changes to this screening policy, to this visitor policy, depending a lot on how the volume of patients flow into our institution and what phase we are with respect to the COVID surge. We are hearing a lot of calls and questions about personal protective equipment. I can reassure you that at present, we feel comfortable that we have a sufficient supply to take us into this pandemic. We, of course, are working with our partners through Ontario Health and our provincial partners, along with our Shared Services West consortium to source this equipment. We want to thank those in the community that have provided donations of personal protective equipment. We encourage you to make sure the equipment that you're delivering to us meets Canadian Standards Association, CAS approved PEE equipment, and we will review it. And certainly we are looking for protective gloves, surgical masks, N95 mask gowns, and vented goggles. We'll be more than pleased to receive those in our stores here at Brampton Civic and as well as at Etobicoke General. We are also enhancing our virtual platforms such as teleconferencing and video conferencing to support the care of vulnerable populations in their homes, and have seen an overall increase in the volume of those activities. We've also seen an overall decrease in our emergency department volumes. Much of this is because of fear of COVID-19, but it allows our staff to be redeployed in other areas of the hospital and will provide us the increased surge capacity we know we'll need in the weeks to come. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Martino. And I just want to let everybody know that we do have Deputy Chief from Peel Police, Randy Patrick, on the line, Chief Peter Dundas from Peel Regional Paramedic Services, and myself, Bill Boyce, from the Fire Chief from City of Brampton. We know everybody wants to get to questions, and we are going to move on to our first questions of the night now. The Chiefs are here if you do have any questions for us. I want to remind everybody that if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 3. And with our first question, we're going to go to Peter. Peter, are you on the line? Looking for Peter with Peter's question.
Hello.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Please go ahead with your question.
I'm just looking for, I'd appreciate some guidance or some clarification on the whole wear a mask in public, don't wear a mask in public. It seems like the, you know, the situation is obviously very dynamic, and I'd just like to have an expert's opinion on that for the City of Brampton.
Sure. Thank you, Peter. I have Mayor Brown here, and then Dr. Lowe can answer.
Yeah, I think the best person to answer that would be Dr. Lawrence Lowe. Lawrence, if you, I get this question a lot in the community. People are confused about whether you should wear a mask or not. So, Lawrence, if you could share, Dr. Lowe, if you could share your advice to residents.
Thank you, Mayor Brown. Thank you, Chief, and thank you, Peter, for the question. So the reason it's a bit confusing right now is because the evidence of mask use specific to COVID-19 is evolving. As you'll know, when the outbreak first started, the advice was that was basically based on a lot of other respiratory viruses that we see, like influenza, all these sort of seasonal cold and flu things, which really show that masks actually don't have much of a benefit. The challenge with masks, especially just in use by people who aren't professionals, a lot of studies had found that people tend to not wear them properly, or it actually makes people touch their face more because they're adjusting it more frequently and all those other pieces. And then certainly when you're disposing of the mask, if you have come in contact with the virus, you might inoculate yourself because you're pulling it off incorrectly, and then you've got it on your hands, you forget to wash your hands. So in the past, there was a lot of advice that really spoke to the idea that you wear a mask to protect others in the event that you are feeling unwell, because it also prevents, it's a barrier out. And also that you wear a mask when you're caring for someone in close contact with COVID. But as of today, as I understand it, the chief public health officer has basically said that when it comes to COVID-19, the evidence is still evolving and it's not very clear. And so there isn't anything to suggest that not wearing a mask might actually be more health promoting. So basically what that means is the pros and cons of wearing a mask versus the not wearing a mask that I've just identified have kind of changed when it comes to COVID-19, because there are some initial signs of evidence that wearing a mask may be protective, not necessarily medical grade masks, but certainly homemade masks or fabric coverings such as scarves or otherwise. And really just trying to understand that evidence at this time. Now, you'll appreciate that this is a constantly changing picture against a new disease that we know very little about. But so far, it seems that the advice that is coming from the chief public health officer just released today on the basis of the evolving evidence is, if you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, you might as well go ahead and wear a mask. Understanding, of course, with the risks that I talked about at the very beginning, you'll want to make sure you're wearing it properly. You're not touching your face more frequently, and that you do wash your hands after you have been putting it on and taking it off, just to make sure, and wash your hands frequently in general. So that's probably the best advice I can give you, but just know that it is an evolving picture and solution as we learn more about this virus and how it responds in public.
Thank you, Dr. Lowe. That's some great advice for a lot of people that are wondering. Moving on to the next question, Samantha. Samantha, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Samantha. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. So my question is, does the City of Brampton have anything set to help tenants right now with their rent? I know that my husband and I have been, we've been laid off, both of us, and we currently are paying rent. I mean, we do have some savings, but with all this going on, we don't know how long this is going to take to even get something from, like, EI or anything. So is there anything that the City of Brampton is planning to set up?
So great question. We made an announcement today relating to city facilities. We have 41 city facilities, in which case we have small business tenants, we have not-for-profit tenants, And so we announced that for the for-profit tenants, we are deferring their rent for 3 months. That those are the small mom-and-pop shops that have businesses as part of city-owned land. We also waived the rent for the not-for-profits. Look at the Boys and Girls Club that helps 700 youth. We waived their rent for 3 months because obviously they can't fundraise right now. In terms of private homes that people rent or private apartments, that would fall under provincial jurisdiction. I would note that we wrote the province today. I wrote Premier Ford about this, asking if they could have a rent relief fund set up to help people. We also had a call with our Economic Support and Recovery Task Force with a number of business leaders and landlords in the community, and I was asked about this. And my advice to landlords in the community was to show compassion, to be accommodating. The Premier and the Prime Minister says no one's going to be evicted right now. And so with that in mind, we want landlords to help their tenants get through this. If you're worried about being evicted, you can contact my office directly and we can explain how that's not the process that is permitted right now. My office email is mayorbrown@brampton.ca, and we hope that there will be some type of relief fund set up by the province, and we continue to push them on that.
Thank you, Mayor Brown. One of the things we've been doing is taking polls to get information from everybody on the line here, and we're going to do two polls tonight. And the first poll that we have, the question being, would you like additional mental health supports in the city during COVID-19? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. The question again, would you like additional mental health supports in the city during COVID-19? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no. And while we wait for the responses, we're going to move on to our next question. And our next question is Min. Min, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. Can you go ahead?
Great. First of all, I want to say thank you to Mayor Brown and everybody on the line for caring about this and doing as much as we can. My question is about hospital planning. So I've been following this around the world, and yeah, it seems pretty clear that there's going to be a surge in cases, and I'm concerned about healthcare workers and burnout, and also people who aren't dealing with COVID. Has there been any consideration to designating hospitals for COVID and non-COVID cases so that, you know, people may feel less nervous about going into a hospital and catching it? You know, we saw what happened at CVH just yesterday. I think, you know, with doctors being overworked, I you know, the chance of mistakes probably increase. So I'm just wondering about considerations there, because I know that's something they've done in China. And yeah, I just want to know what any plans are for that situation.
Well, thank you, Min, for the question. It's Mayor Brown here again. I wanted you to first know that we are preparing for all circumstances. Now, hopefully we don't have a situation where the surge is like it is in New York City, but I want you to know that regional staff, that the leadership of the hospitals are preparing for all scenarios, no matter how unlikely they are. And there's been talks about where there could be an additional site if needed. It may be premature. Dr. Martina would know whether that detail is ready to be shared. But know that all those steps and how it would be constructed, all those conversations are happening so that we can handle whatever volume arrives. But maybe Dr. Martino could speak to this as well, and in terms of how they're separating the COVID-related interactions and the non-COVID.
Certainly, I'd be pleased to, Mayor Brown. First of all, to answer the question with regards to the health of and the health and wellness of our healthcare workers at William Osler, and I must say, at all other institutions in Ontario and in Canada. At Osler, we have developed over the last couple of years a health and wellness and resilience plan for our staff. We've bolstered it and modified it for COVID, especially because of two things. First, as you indicated, burnout. Burnout is important. We recognize that, and we have a redeployment plan that allows employees to actually stay home if they work too much. And we track their shifts on an electronic system that we call Kronos here at the hospital. We also have implemented mental health strategies for our employees so they can debrief, decompress after difficult shifts, which we anticipate they will have both in our COVID unit and our critical care unit. With regards to the question of, I believe from a provincial strategy, there won't be a COVID hospital. At least we recognize that every hospital will need to address this crisis as it evolves. We have a four-phase plan to manage COVID, a four-phased space capacity plan that has specific units within the hospital that are devoted to COVID. We also have an emergency departmental plan where patients with COVID will be seen in a different area of the hospital from patients without COVID. When people are concerned, I'm going to go to the hospital and I'm going to be infected as I walk in. We've taken great strides in making sure that this does not happen. So our COVID unit is a specialized unit. It is a medical unit where we will see those COVID patients with both nursing and physician staff that will be dedicated to that unit with procedures and policies and work plans, models of care that will support the care of those patients, which will be different from the non-COVID unit, say, that is managing patients with coronary artery disease, et cetera. Now, we know that our patients with coronary artery disease will develop COVID, and they will have symptoms that are related to their coronary artery disease. They may have heart failure. They may have angina. But our staff will go to those patients in the COVID unit where they're admitted with a coronavirus infection as well as coronary symptoms of coronary artery disease. So we've made a great effort to formulate a multi-phase plan that will address some of the concerns that you were voicing.
Thank you, Dr. Martino. One thing I'd like to do now is go over the results of the poll. So the poll was, would you like additional mental health supports in this city during COVID-19? And again, we have an overwhelming yes. 70% of people would like to see that. So thank you very much. These responses help give us some great knowledge to inform how we move forward here in the city of Brampton. I'd like to go with our next question, which is from Adrian. It's an online question. And it's for Deputy Chief Patrick and police, and there seems to be some confusion. Here's the question. And people are reporting the police are stopping cars with more than two people and giving tickets. Is this true? Deputy Patrick?
Yes, thank you, Chief. That's been an ongoing question of Peel Regional Police, and I can tell you that that's not true. We have not been doing that, and there is no offense being committed when there's two people driving in a vehicle. So we would not be doing that.
Thank you, Deputy Patrick. Appreciate the answer. Going on to our next question, do we have Chantel on the line? Chantel?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead with your question, please.
So I'm glad that you did the poll about the mental health, first of all, and thank you to everyone who's working so hard. I'm curious about, so my situation is I'm a mother of three. We're a family of five in a house of seven, my grandmother and my mother. And so getting outside is like so fundamental. What I'm curious about is it's not about getting outside around other people. Say, for example, if you know a quiet place, a place you can go, where, you know, you're not going to interact with others, we're safe to do so, right? Like, we can still go out and be out if it's not around others. Is that correct? And if I'm out with my family of five, is that okay?
So let me attempt to answer this, and if Dr. Lowe wants to add anything. The rule right now is groups of five or less. And so if you're walking with a friend, someone that you live with, on the path, that's fine. As long as you're 6 feet away
from other people that are walking on that path. I'd say the five-person rule, one exemption is families that live together. I know there are some large families that are beyond five, but what we don't want is to meet up with friends right now where you could pass on the virus unintentionally. Dr. Lowe, what would you add to that?
Absolutely. Thank you for the question. So, yeah, the trouble is there's obviously a lot of different regulations and recommendations and ideas that are coming down from all the different levels of government. So the less than five rule that Mayor Brown identifies, that is a provincial order, but I don't believe it pertains to public gatherings. I would have to verify this. I'm not a lawyer. But I don't think it impacts immediate families, as I understand it. My recommendation that I issued today to really limit to solo exercise or two people is essentially a recommendation. And so I think people can read into it what they will and ideally respond accordingly. Obviously, with a situation where you have multiple children in your family, the recommendation may not necessarily be feasible. But it really is meant to sort of limit people for whom they may not have the same sort of child caring responsibilities. People who may be thinking, well, it's all right to get together in a run group with three or four of my other friends. I think that would actually be less desirable at this point in time, and that's why I strongly recommend against it. The idea is that we should be embracing more solo exercise and physical activity to balance out the need to be physically active, but also recognizing that there is a possibility of disease transmission from person to person whenever people get together. So certainly there are strong recommendations. I do recognize that there will be contexts and situations that limit the possibility of adhering to the recommendations, but to the extent that you can adhere to the recommendation that I've put forward, we will make a difference in terms of flattening the curve and slowing the spread of this disease in our community. So thank you for the question.
Thank you, Dr. Lowe. Thank you, Chantel. Moving on to our next question, we have Amik. Amik, are you on the line?
And fellow counselors and our emergency management office for making sure that this call happens. Just wanted to have a quick question about where can Bramptonians reach out to which agencies and if they need a delivery for food or a warm meal. And also in terms of a third site, there was some questions about a third site possibly coming to Brampton for testing, and the criteria has been laid out quite clearly. What would that look like for the rate of testing in the community so we can identify some clusters where this is spreading at a much faster rate, and then also that would help us understand where would be the no-go areas in the social isolation process as well.
Well, thank you for the question. We've got some great social service organizations that provide that help. Knight's Table, you can reach at 905-454-8725. They're at 287 Glidden Road. Regeneration is at 253 Queen Street. You can reach out to Ted at regenbrampton.com. And United Speaks, 585 Guru Nanak Street, do incredible work as well, 905-672-2245. So just to repeat, Knight's Table, Regeneration, and United Speaks all do great work in our community. And if you didn't get their numbers, just email our social support task force, and you can do so online at brampton.ca/COVID. 19, and we don't want to leave anyone in the cold, anyone left without shelter or food during this pandemic, and we will make sure that support is available.
Thank you, Mayor Brown. On to our next question here before we do a poll. Is Dulce on the line? Dulce? Thank
you so much for doing this, Mayor and everyone. I appreciate the information for me and for everyone else in Brampton. However, I do have a concern. My job is, I'm not going to say what the institution is, but I deal directly with citizens of second language, like ESL clients, and assisting them with certain injuries. My concern is Brampton is such a multicultural city where a lot of people don't speak English, including entire families. So my question to that is, how are we addressing that population in terms of education, regulations, rules, consequences, and such. And the other question is, for Catholics, Easter is coming in just a week and a half. I'm hoping that people don't go ahead and conduct large gatherings and celebration, be at home or in churches. But how are you planning to address or implement social distancing in this religious holiday for so many?
So a great question. Let me say, first of all, the city of Brampton communicates in 10 of the most spoken languages in the city. We understand that we are a very diverse community. We're a mosaic of the world. And so for that, communications is something that we take very seriously. And if there's any city correspondence that you can't find, it is on the city website at brampton.ca, where we have it. There's a link for all the different languages at brampton.ca. We have our correspondence and information in French, Punjabi, Urdu, Gujarati, Hindi, Tamil, Spanish, Portuguese, Tagalog, Italian, and Vietnamese. And so we do try our best. In terms of Easter coming up, I would note that a lot of the churches that have large gatherings for Easter have already said that there's not going to be services. It's the safety of our community. And the provincial order of not having gatherings of more than five wouldn't allow for it anyways. But I would note, I looked at the communication from the Archdiocese of the Catholic Church. Very early on, they communicated there would be no service to protect the safety and the health of the community. And so it's been through collaboration that we've taken these measures.
Thank you, Mayor Brown. We're going to go on now to our second poll question. And this poll question is, do you support the new social distancing fines of up to $100,000 announced by the city on Tuesday? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, press 3 for unsure. Again, the question is, do you support the new social distancing fines of up to $100,000 announced by the city on Tuesday? Press 1 for yes, press 2 for no, press 3 for unsure. And while everybody responds to the poll, we're going to move on to our next question. Gurjeet, are you on the line? Gurjeet? Sorry, Gurjeet, we are having trouble hearing you. Could you just repeat your question?
Okay, maybe we'll go to the next.
We'll go to the next question and come back. Thank you. Going to the next question, is Susan on the line? Susan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Susan. Go ahead with your question, please. Hi there.
Good evening to everyone. My question is this. Why are we not doing mandatory testing? And the reason I ask that is, how do we ever hope to get ahead of the curve if we are only testing those who are presenting symptoms, or they are high risk due to health issues, or they're over the age of 60? The ones that may be symptomatic but are not getting tested, they may not know that they're a carrier, and as a result, we're all left vulnerable to that. That's a concern that I have, because we could be visiting this issue, this virus, for some time if we don't get a hold of it, if we don't get it under control.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for the question. We'll pass that over to Dr. Lowe.
Thank you so much for the question. And this is a question that I get time and time again, and I'm happy to provide an answer. It really speaks to sort of all the different parts of the recommendations that we have issued at Peel Public Health and just more broadly. And I want to state at the outset that testing is very important. It helps us to identify chains of transmission. It helps us particularly to protect chains of transmission from being formed within vulnerable communities and, you know, healthcare facilities and frontline workers. And it also helps us to identify contacts out in the community that might be required to isolate. So if you actually look at the recommendations that we have issued, there is sort of a suite of three recommendations that need to be taken in account with the testing. One of the things that I have been saying constantly is that if you are not feeling well and you are sick, you need to stay home. So even though we don't necessarily have the ability or haven't necessarily been testing all those people, if someone who is sick with COVID-19 is staying home and ideally their family is also staying home with them, particularly given the guidance that I've issued today around someone with symptoms consistent that might want to stay home, then that actually interrupts the chain of transmission there without necessarily needing the reason for the test. The second part of the recommendations and the suite of recommendations that we have there is we've actually been asking people, if you have no reason to be out, you should also stay home and limit your excursions to really groceries, pharmacy, gasoline, other essentials that you may need to purchase for your basic life and necessities. And that is also in recognition of the fact that if people who are vulnerable, all of us being susceptible to this disease in some form, but not necessarily having all severe presentations, but it's a recognition that if we are also not circulating, the virus cannot circulate. And then finally, that is why it comes to testing, because with testing, we do know that especially frontline healthcare workers, as well as those who are older and immunocompromised, are at greater risk of actually contracting the disease and also at greater risk of actually having worse outcomes with the disease. So that is where we are using our specific testing resources to target those populations and make sure that we are identifying cases there and isolating any contacts that might be associated with them. So, I often think it would be very nice, and especially the academic in me would love to see us test 100% of the population. But it really isn't feasible, and we really need to focus our resources in the best way that we can, while also asking people to do their part and heed the advice to stay home if they're sick, and also to stay home even if they aren't sick, and really just limit their excursions to the most essential. And I think through that, we'll be able to also stay ahead of this disease beyond just testing everybody en masse. I mean, it's ideal. It would be ideal, but it's not necessarily something that we are pursuing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Lowe. We're going to take one more question before we go to the results of our poll. Nathia, are you on the line?
Right. Hello.
Hi there.
Yes.
Go ahead. There.
Thank you very much, Mayor Brown and the others. I'm 76 years old. My wife is 72 years old. We were on self-quarantine because we came from the States. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the groceries. We were into a lot of difficulties. I ordered from Walmart on the 22nd. They said they'll deliver it yesterday between 1 and 2, but it never came. But I cannot get across to Walmart. No lines are busy. They are not acknowledging any emails. And then I tried to rebook again, but there is no pickup or delivery for the next 7 days. It's a pretty bad situation. It's not only me. A lot of snowboarders are having the same problem. They are all old people. And even Metro had the facility. I went on Metro, and what they said was no delivery. The pickup is at Burlington. I had to go all the way to Burlington to pick them. And we are vulnerable, 76 years old and 32 years old. Can something be done?
Absolutely.
Better.
Yeah, no, definitely, sir. This is Ian Orman from the Emergency Management Office. So we have set up, through our seniors task force, a system by which we're helping seniors like yourself who have difficulty in obtaining groceries. So what we ask you to do is to either you send us an email at covidsenior@brampton.ca, or you call 311. And we will register your request, and we will help you with this. So we will have volunteers that are going to work with you either to put an order online, but then what we also have is our volunteers will go and pick up the grocery for you and bring it to your doorstep. What they do is they go to the grocery store, get the order. Some grocery stores will prepare the orders. We're working on with them. We'll prepare the orders and we just pick it up. Others say the volunteer will need to have it to go and get all the products on the shelf. So we're working on different models, but we will deliver to you. What we do is the volunteer will come in. They'll put the groceries in at your front step. They'll go back to their car and they'll call you so that there's never any contact directly between you and the volunteer. We want to protect you at the same time as we're going to be helping you and serving, providing you with the food that you need. So definitely do call us. We're also looking at ways that for payment, so that you can pay your groceries. And we're looking at different models, different ways. We're working with the grocery association to have them help us in helping you. And we are going to be coming up with all sorts of plans to make sure that you get what you need. But for now, just email us at COVID-19 seniors at brampton.ca, or call 311, and they know how to provide the help and transfer the information to us.
Well, thank you, Alan. I would note our seniors task force being co-chaired by Councillor Fortini and Councillor Dillon. We're having a seniors town hall tomorrow. We're going to try to help and work with all senior groups in the city. And thank you, Alan and Rasmeen and your whole team, who's doing great work at the Brampton Emergency Management Office. So, Chief, are we going to do the poll results and then more questions?
Yes, we are. So the second poll we had is, do you support the new social distancing fines of up to $100,000 announced by the city on Tuesday? And it was an overwhelming yes. Almost 80% of people felt that this was appropriate. So thank you, everyone, for your response. We're going to move on. We're staying on here for another 20 minutes, right till 7 o'clock. The next question we have is from Karen. Karen, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Karen. Go ahead. It's your question.
Yes. The question is, do we need to do more? Today I was delivering food to some clients from our organization who are not able to leave their home from the food bank. And on my way there, I noticed a young couple with a 2-year-old child in the park on the swings of a condo complex. I spoke to them from a distance and explained to them the importance of this, and their reaction to me, their response was that their child was bored inside the apartment. I come home and I see my neighbor's child playing with the children of the neighbors next door. I walk down to the park for a walk in my own neighborhood, and there's three young gentlemen sharing a joint. I understand the fines are in place, but people are still not, you know, abiding by the social distance and, you know, recommendations. Like, do we need to put more restrictions in place, you know, until people really realize how serious this is?
Well, that's a great question, Karen. I want you to know that we feel the same way. It's why yesterday we announced physical distancing fines that range from $500 to $100,000. And let me give you an example. Last night, a 27-year-old thought it was a good idea to have a backyard party. Him and 20 friends were going to have some drinks. We have no patience for that. A bylaw officer went there, laid a fine. They didn't respond to the fine. They thought it was a joke. The police came. Thank you for the support of the Peel Police. And now they're going to have a court date where they could face a fine of up to $100,000. We will not tolerate people being reckless with our health. Those 20 people thought they were having a good time, but they could pass it on to their neighbors, their family members, their loved ones. We're not going to stand for it. If you see examples of that, just call 311 and we will get on it. We're bringing on 10 additional bylaw officers to help the volume of calls coming into 311, giving us examples of this of groups that are disregarding physical distancing.
Thank you, Mayor Brown. As we move on to our next question, is Neil on the line?
Here.
Neil, go ahead with your question if you're there.
Thank you very much. My question is in regards to small business. Me as a small business owner, we rely on the income from our business to cover our household. We haven't received any of the compassion yet from the landlord, so we paid the rent. Our salaries for the staff are being paid. I know that the federal government has announced that they're going to defer taxes or HST payments, and that's fine, but it'll have to get paid eventually. The question I have is, there's a government-backed loan that they've announced, but when I call the banks, I can't get through, and when I do, it's very vague. I'm not getting enough information that I need. So my question really is there any information on this subsidy for small businesses who need to keep their doors open and their lights on, especially when this thing all passes? We still want to keep our business going. Is there any information on this subsidy and how we can apply and what the criteria is for that?
So these are federal and provincial programs, but we have an economic support and recovery task force being headed by Councillor Pelleschi and Councillor Vicente. And if you need someone to help steer you in the right direction for which program, we're happy to do that. Claire Barnett, who's our Director of Economic Development,
is happy to assist with your business, you can reach Claire at clairebarnett@brampton.ca. Claire.Burnett@brampton.ca, or email me, mayorbrown@brampton.ca, and I will connect you with Claire. We also have the contact information for the Economic Support and Recovery Task Force at brampton.ca/COVID-19. Or you can call 311 and ask to be connected to the Economic Development Department. You can just call 311. That's the easiest number to remember. I know it's confusing. You see the Prime Minister and the Premier announcing new programs every day on their daily briefing, and it's difficult to be pointed in the right direction. We're happy to do that at the City of Brampton.
Thank you, Mayor Brown. We'll go on to our next question. Our next question comes from Jim. Jim, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Hi there, Jim. Go ahead with your question, please.
First of all, good evening to you all, and compliments to the mayor and your whole task force doing such a nice job. You know, in time of this worries, it's very comforting to hear all the options that are available. Now I go to my question. I just turned 83-year-old, and I have an ongoing cough and mucus problem that is going on from last summer. I'm also had a triple bypass surgery a few years ago, and I'm wondering if there is an appointment available where I can go by appointment to get tested and whether it's even necessary.
So what I'm going to suggest is maybe Dr. Lowe or Dr. Martino could direct you of how you could find out to be tested, as they would have more of a direct insight into that process.
So maybe I'll pass it over to you, Frank, if that's okay.
Sure. Hi, Jim. You do have three options to be tested if you need it to be tested. The first option is at Peel Memorial Center on Lynch Street in Brampton. Now, the Peel Memorial Center is a walk-in or drive, park and walk to the center. It's attached to the Peel Memorial Center itself. And, you know, I often tell patients to get there earlier in the morning. We open at 10. If you have the opportunity to drive there, you would be screened as you arrive. And if you do qualify for further screening, there's the initial triage-type screening, we give you a ticket, and you can wait in the car, and then you can enter so you're not standing out in the cold. Your family doctor can refer you to our on-site screening center and testing center at Etobicoke General Hospital. So if your family doctor's in Brampton, he may or she may be part of our medical staff. We have a number of family physicians on staff at Osler, and they can make an appointment for you to be seen at the Etobicoke General site. There we see referrals from public health, from family doctors, and staff and healthcare workers and first responders. We have a drive-through site at Queens Plate and Highway 27. And that at that particular site, you would drive through, you would get an initial screen, and then get further screening and testing, and you can stay in your car. So those are your three options. Now, the symptoms you're describing, if you're not having a fever, and these are chronic symptoms, they're not new symptoms of a upper respiratory tract infection or a flu-like illness, it's unlikely that you've contracted the virus. But if you do get a change in your symptoms, and certainly if you develop a fever, we would want to see you. And I would encourage you to go to one of the three sites.
Thank you, Dr. Martino. We appreciate that information.
I have a bit of time left for a few more questions.
Satya, are you on the line?
Hello?
Pardon. Go ahead with your question. We have difficulty hearing you. We'll move on to our next question. Raj. Raj, are you on the line?
Hi, Raj. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you for leading. My question is, in terms of medical emergencies, if you have a medical emergency that isn't COVID-19, what is the procedure for seeking medical attention?
Well, I think that would, once again, it would be best to have Dr. Frank Martino answer.
Hi, Raj, and thank you for your question. I think it's important that those on the line recognize that we are open here at OSLR. If you have a medical emergency, our emergency departments at Peel Memorial, Etobicoke, our urgent care center at Peel Memorial, our emergency department at Brampton Civic and at Etobicoke General are there for those individuals that would come to the hospital like they would before we entered this pandemic. If you're having severe abdominal pain, if you're having a respiratory symptoms from your asthma or COPD, if you're having symptoms of heart failure, we want to see you. And as well, if you are in extremis, meaning this is a very urgent and severe presentation of your illness, we would want you to call 911, and they would respond just as they did in the past. They would certainly screen and take precautions if you did have respiratory symptoms, don PPE, and they would bring you to one of our emergency departments. And so, yes, we're open. We're open here and ready to take care of you.
Thank you, Dr. Martino, and you raise a good point, too. If you're in urgent need and you do have to call 911, our 911 operators will be asking screening questions related to COVID, and that is to help protect all of the first responders from fire and paramedics and police that may need to respond. So we hope that you can, you know, are able to answer those questions to the best of your ability or whoever it is that is calling 911 at the time. Moving on to the next question, we have Cheryl Lynn. Cheryl Lynn, go ahead.
Just wondering, since a lot of us are laid off right now and should be in quarantine, is there any insurance, auto insurance break for anybody? Consideration, I should say.
A great question. I should note that just yesterday I wrote a letter to the provincial Minister of Finance that regulates insurance in the province, and I said, obviously, this is a sore point for us in Brampton. We have among the highest auto insurance premiums in the province. And speaking to our traffic folks at City Hall in the region of Peel, the numbers are down dramatically. You have some roads that are like ghost roads right now. And the fact that you're not seeing traffic activity, yet you're not seeing cars out, you'd think that the insurance companies would give people a break. I wrote Minister Phillips to see if he could mandate a 75% reduction, given a similar reduction on the roads in terms of activity. So we're going to continue to push that request. You know, if cities like Brampton are deferring property taxes, if the federal government is helping with a wage subsidy, you would think that insurance companies who have had significant profits over the last number of years could show some compassion as well. So we're going to continue to push that, and we hope that the province would regulate that.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Brown. We got time for one to two more questions here before we wrap up. I'd like to ask Abhishek. Abhishek, are you on the line?
Thank you. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Brown, and the entire team, first of all, to keep us all safe in the city. The question that I want to ask in terms of the numbers as of today, what we are seeing in the Brampton, do you think that we are yet to realize the effect of the lockdown that we have since last 2 weeks, or do you think we are doing better? What's your call on that?
I think the best person to speak to this would be Dr. Lowe. And one thing that he's explained to me, maybe Dr. Lowe could explain to the 15,000 people we have on this call, is that a lot of the data we're seeing today is results of work done 2 weeks ago. Sometimes the physical distancing measures don't show right away because there's a process to getting contacted, getting the virus, getting symptoms, getting tested, but I think Dr. Lowe would be the best person to speak to timelines and how we measure this and watch it unfold.
Thank you, Mayor Brown. It's actually a great question, Abhishek, and I realize I've always talked about the two-week lag without explaining what the lag is for. So what we have from the best evidence is that it sometimes takes up to 2 weeks for this disease to actually show symptoms and present. That's from the time that someone gets the disease until they start to have symptoms. The outer bound of normal is about 2 weeks, usually falls somewhere in the middle, usually around 7 to 10 days. And so the reason why you see a two-week lag in terms of our cases is because the tests that were done 2 weeks ago that are coming back positive now are people that were infected at that time and may have typically had symptoms at that time, but may now be only just presenting to healthcare or presenting in cases in that instance. So there's a two-week lag both for the presentation, and that's the healthcare piece, but there's also a two-week lag in terms of the transmission. So in the time it takes for the disease to spread from person to person, they can be infectious for up to 2 weeks, and someone may contract it. And then once someone's contracted the disease, there's another 2 weeks beyond that. So the reason why I always use this two-week lag thing is that we had a lot more people circulating, a lot more people out and about 2 weeks ago, and so there was a lot more transmission that could have happened, which means that we would essentially then see those people starting to present with symptoms over the subsequent 2 weeks, basically the back half of March, in order to get tested. And then in terms of the healthcare picture, you're then seeing, especially the severe cases, playing out over the 2 weeks and then ending up in the healthcare system. That becomes 2 weeks beyond, so essentially a month behind the time that someone gets ill. And so that is the reason why I honestly think, and make no mistake to everyone on the call tonight, we are going to see many more cases because there was just greater awareness, there was greater testing, and also greater circulation over the last 2 weeks. So we're going to see way more cases show up in the next 2 weeks. And then we're also going to see a concomitant rise in healthcare usage probably in the coming week and the week beyond that, just reflecting the delays in terms of how this disease is transmitted and how it presents. So I hope that makes sense. And it really speaks to the need for us to keep at it, to keep physically distancing, to stay home as much as possible, and to self-isolate if you're not feeling well. So thank you, Abhishek, for the question.
Thank you, Dr. Lowe. We have time for one more question here, and I'd like to go to Adrian. Adrian?
Hello, good evening. I just wanted to be assured that we have enough beds at the Civic Hospital. You'll recall that wasn't too long ago even the Premier commented about how bad it was and used the word hall care instead of hospital care. And I wondered if do we need to or should we consider some type of temporary hospital portables or whatever, the school portables, even the schools, to ensure that we do have beds when all this onslaught of is going to occur in the next few weeks. Is anybody considering that, or do you think we can make do with what we've got?
So great question, and I had referenced this a little bit earlier. We have a daily regional call where we work with the Trillium Hospital, Osler's Health, our municipal leadership in Caledon, Brampton, and Mississauga, and the region of Peel senior leadership, and we are preparing for all possibilities. It may be a bit premature to release details on that, but I want everyone to know that we are preparing for all eventualities, and that part of that forecasting could mean an additional site. And in terms of that site being identified, resources being available, how long it would take to put up, all that work is happening right now. Because details are still being finalized, I think it would be premature to speak to the location out of respect to people that are involved, but I want you to know those steps are being taken, and we will be ready if the surge happens. We'll be ready with that additional capacity locally, and we have got some incredible healthcare leadership in Peel Region. Dr. Martino at Osler, Michelle Emanuel at Trillium, they're some of the best in Canada, and we're getting their guidance on this, and we'll do everything we can to be prepared.
Thank you, Mayor Brown. So those are some great questions, and we want to thank everyone online today. Really appreciate everyone taking the time. I'm going to let Mayor Brown wrap it up in a minute, but before we do that, we'd like to ask everyone to please check out Brampton.ca and the Region Appeals website, along with our social media at both Brampton and the Region for continuous updates. And again, I thank you very much for spending your time. Mayor Brown?
Well, just to wrap up, thank you, Chief Boyce, for being our moderator. Again, we're all in this together. And we had 14,674 residents, households on the call today. And I want to thank you for caring so much about your city. I know these are difficult days, but we're going to get through it as a city and as a country. And as I said on our first Teletown Hall, this is not a matter of weeks. It's a matter of months. This is going to be a disruption to our way of life. You know, Canadians are tough. Canadians are ready for this, and we've got some incredible people. The Peel Police, the paramedics, and the Brampton Fire went to Oshler on the weekend and went blazing with their sirens to have a parade of support for our healthcare workers, and it was incredible. It's on their social media feed, and I thought it was beautiful because it speaks to the great work and the unsung heroes we have, whether it was the grocery store clerk who's staying open to make sure the food supply is operational, whether it's the truck driver working in these difficult conditions, whether it's the transit operator, the nurses who go into a difficult environment with a greater risk, the physicians, even at our hospital. You know, we have a member of the staff who's battling COVID-19 right now. These are scary times, but I want to say on behalf of the city of Brampton, thank you to all those on the front lines. It reminds me of what Winston Churchill once said. He said, never has there been so much owed by so many to so few. And I think when we talk about people on the front lines, that quote's appropriate today. And so on behalf of the city of Brampton, thank you. And until our next Teletown Hall, let's all do our part to flatten the curve and follow the guidelines on physical distancing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Thanks. Thank you. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.